Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much. Whether you are a new checking out the podcast for the first time or a returning listener, we really appreciate you. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. So this is cool. Today's interview is with Shane Dickey, who is the co-founder of Superior Small Batch. And if you're not familiar with Superior Small Batch, they not only make awesome vegan sausage and veggie burgers, Superior Small Batch is a new and small organically grown company. And you're going to learn all about this. And it's exciting to me. This is part of what I'm excited about podcast-wise. This is a company who is small, who is doing the right things with the trying to put the best ingredients possible with the best tasting food, with even the bigger picture of people, community, environment, health, just all those things kind of rolled into that. And I'm excited to share their story because they're doing things for the right reasons. All the efforts they are putting in to creating this product and making people aware of what they're doing and growing their company is out of passion and desire to make a tiny little sliver of the world a better place. And maybe that is just to provide a really good veggie burger, but that's where it's coming from. And I say this on a level of, you know, I realize you probably haven't had their burgers yet, and this is all new to you, and it's not even just about their burger. But it's also about the concept. It's what my whole podcast is kind of built on, or at least one aspect where I'm sharing information about people who maybe don't have the huge marketing budget to share with the world. And so trying to create that awareness. And what I'm about to say applies to you no matter what part of the world you're in. We all many times talk about shopping locally. And the other thing that is helpful to remember when we're shopping locally and we have anything that we love about somebody who is small and local is they need your support and your help about getting the word out. It is about one conversation at a time and saying, hey, do you have this product? Do you carry this person's stuff? Or do you know about this? And I say that because I think we get caught up in the commercial world that we all live in, right? We see advertisements from companies that are wanting to get their product name in front of our eyes as many times during the day as they possibly can. So these small companies built on passion, doing things with the best intention and best practices possible from kind of grassrootsy, I'm not sure if that's the right word to use here, but building it up from the ground, not having a bunch of money and a bunch of companies behind them to not only give them advertising budgets, but to tell them what to do, how to do it, and what products they're going to utilize. And I think I find myself saying this as a call out or a gentle reminder to myself, very much included, about how much work it really is for those one-on-one conversations and touching people's lives individually to get the word out about what you're doing to grow. And this conversation with Shane was just very much a reminder about that. It was a great reminder and a great look into the reality of starting something that I have for myself every day as trying to get my podcast, something that is free information and sharing, and I'm excited about it. And it's funny how much work it does take to do that. So I'm just saying, wherever you are, keep in mind that if it's something you love, be it food, a practitioner, a business, a movement that is doing great things, providing something that's with awesome quality or really helping people or whatever the case might be, weirdly in this reality TV advertisement driven world, those are the people that get drowned out and really appreciate your support and good word to them and sharing with others. And I'm definitely not saying, you know, annoy your friends about it or whatever the case is, but it's just the state of mindfulness about it is what I am trying to bring forward here. Mindful to speak out when we find somebody or something that's fantastic, and mindful to pay attention to our friends when they have found something awesome too, and just take that mental note. Okay, I will get off my soapbox now and we will continue on with the program. But I just want you to know I'm really excited. I'm excited about what they're doing at Superior Small Batch, and it just leads to so many other thoughts of aspects of how our world works. So check out this interview. I enjoyed so much learning some of the details about how their business came to be and how they're growing it and all of that stuff. And definitely, if you love veggie burgers, you have to try this stuff. If you don't love veggie burgers, you have to try this stuff. It's just totally worth it. The sausage really is fantastic too. And if you are a person with food allergies and food sensitivities, you definitely need to listen further. There is great stuff in here for you. All right, let's head on in. Well, welcome, Shane.
Hi.
Thank you for coming and sharing your small batch story today.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this is fun and exciting. So first of all, let's start off for people who aren't familiar with Superior Small Batch. What is that and what do you do?
Well, Superior Small Batch is a small family-owned company owned by me and my spouse, Gail. And we make veggie burgers and veggie sausage, meat-free burgers and sausage. Based in West Duluth, but our products right now are made in Finland, Minnesota.
Okay.
I make them in Finland, Minnesota.
You make them yourself?
I do.
Okay, wow.
I do have one fantastic Uber helper, who is our good friend Peter from Brimson, where we used to live. And he is a fanatical believer in our company and, you know, does everything that he personally can to make it work. So he's been volunteering one day a week with me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness is right. Peter is just incredible. And we actually just hired our first part-time employee.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
We are really excited. It's a real threshold for us. She's actually going to start the first week of July. So one day a week. So our first, so it won't be just me and Peter for very long.
Cool. All right. So I definitely want to hear the details about the sausage and the burgers, but let's start with kind of what got you there. What inspired all of this?
Yeah, sure. Well, Gail and I were on our way back from visiting friends in the cities, and we were on our way through Wisconsin, Northwest Wisconsin on state route, something or another, and just talking the way you do on long car rides. And Gail and I have been making all sorts of food for ourselves, but a lot of different interesting pickled foods and fermented foods and veggie foods for a long time. And one thing that we really have enjoyed doing since we've gotten together is swapping recipes and stories about where things came from. And I have been sort of obsessed with a perfect veggie burger recipe for years. A burger that is free of eggs and dairy, first of all. A lot of people, you know, put eggs in their veggie burgers to get them to hold together, because having a thing hold together is tough,
right?
With veggie burgers. Well, I don't have anything against eggs, but to me, that's not a real veggie burger, you know. So anyway, I had gone through many, and I had developed this burger that I called Shane's Better Burger. Meanwhile, Gail had this awesome recipe for a wheat gluten-based sausage that she had been making for a long time. So we just got to talking about this, and we've been making this stuff for ourselves for a long time. We thought, why not think about going into business, and maybe we could do some of our other food as well, some of our pickled foods or fermented foods. She's a big fan of lacto-fermentation of different things, and been doing canning, and she has a long history of canning. We thought, let's give business a try. And so we did we got some really good advice from a friend of ours who suggested we do a CSA model type of a rollout. So we had, 6 or 8 or 10 different recipes that we tried out on about 20 of our friends and other folks who bought quote unquote shares of our veggie food CSA. And we used that as an incubation period and R&D period. And we wanted to launch with one product because we were determined not to go into debt and, you know, just sort of start slow if we could. And so through that process that we called Superior Small Box, we determined that, you know, people's favorite product was this sausage that we ended up calling Brimson Bangers. And so we incorporated last December and started the process of getting our whole food or our wholesale frozen food manufacturer's license, and decided that we would launch with a veggie sausage and market it, try to market it directly to restaurants, and also do wholesale direct to a lot of the individuals that had been part of our small box that still wanted their veggie sausage. So that was the idea in the beginning. It's changed some since then, but, you know, we've only really been at it about a year and a half.
Okay.
So, yeah, a conversation on the road out in Wisconsin, and thought, let's give this a try. I had been working in the schools as a paraprofessional, working with special needs kids, and have a history of doing all sorts of stuff in education and nonprofit social service. And we had this great sort of an arrangement where my contract was such that we were, you know, we worked the school year, but we're paid over the calendar year.
Oh, sure.
So we essentially had, you know, 2.5 months where I was being paid last summer that I could dedicate to the business.
Nice.
And getting it off the ground without having to quit. See? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a way, even though I wasn't working. So that was really, gave it a bit of a boost and sort of got on the ground and got running with it so that when school started then last September, I could quit my job. Gail, meanwhile, still has her full-time work and keeps it. So I'm doing the day-to-day operation of the business, and she runs the books and writes the checks and, takes care of everything else. So.
Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about the burgers and the sausage, because they're both a little different. They're not just made of the same thing.
That's right.
And I noticed the burgers are pretty much mostly gluten-free, right? Gluten-free, but I also mean allergy-free. Like, there's walnuts in them, so there's tree nuts.
They have walnuts, and that's the only high-grade allergen that they have.
Right.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, we started with the sausage, and that's a wheat gluten-based food. You know, I'm tempted to call it a product because I've gotten into this, you know, food manufacturing speak, but I hate calling our food product.
Right.
You know, even though that's what it is, you know.
Right. It's food.
It's food. But no, it's wheat gluten and pinto beans are the main volume of the sausage. Yeah, pinto beans are really magical.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are. And how their consistency when cooked and how creamy they are and how, they're just a wonderful thing. But sort of there's lots of other stuff in there in the bangers to make them really delicious. But if you're familiar with seitan or mock duck, it used to be called more, it's the same stuff. It's, you know, seasoned wheat gluten. So, but we found that a lot of people, no big surprise, were not able to eat the sausage, even though they were interested because they have gluten allergy. Mm-hmm. And we knew that going in, of course, that a lot of people have gluten allergy. But that was the recipe that we had that we liked, and so we went with it. But we were determined when we launched our second product to have it not contain most of the big allergens, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
The bangers also have just a little bit of soy in them. They have tamari in them.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So there's no soybean, there's no tofu, but there is some tamari.
Okay.
And I had thought about getting away from the tamari just to eliminate the soy in those as well. But it just really adds a lot to the background flavor of them, and I couldn't get rid of it out of the recipe. So, but the party burgers are the burger that we developed that we're really, so we ended up not going with the Shane's Better Burger, you know, but we developed a different burger, and we wanted them to be gluten-free. We wanted them to be soy-free and peanut-free. Shane's Better Burger has peanut butter in them.
Mm.
And, you know, we had some other stuff we wanted to do with our burgers. We wanted them to be substantial. So, you know, they're a quarter-pound burger post-cook weight. It's about 35% bigger than most supermarket veggie burgers.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted them to hold together well, whether you were cooking them in a fry pan or in the oven or on a grill. And we came up with a really good burger, we feel, that has some real interesting background flavor. We worked really hard to give it a depth of flavor. One thing I feel like is missing in a lot of supermarket burgers is a depth of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just feel kind of chintzy. You know, it's like stake yourself to a real flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that. So our food has a lot of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not trying to make a bland thing that you put a bunch of ketchup on or whatever. Like, I do like ketchup on the burger, but
It can stand alone.
It can stand alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. So yeah, we did that. So the burger is, the main components of the hearty burger are chickpeas, mushrooms, oats and rice, brown rice. Okay. So.
And that's what holds it all together and makes it not crumbly and fall apart?
Well, not exactly. Those things are what give it the bulk.
Okay.
So if you take a 1/4-pound burger, almost all the weight of it are those ingredients.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But what holds it together is really the combination of tapioca starch and flax meal.
Okay.
So the flax also gives it a really good nutritional component.
Mm-hmm.
But those two things together are what really give it the glue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so for the bangers, you have a crumble.
Uh-huh.
And then you also have, I don't know what you call the other.
We call it a roll.
A roll.
Sausage roll. Yeah. Yeah, we used to call it a log, but, you know, we just ended up going with a roll.
Right.
Sausage roll.
And that you could thaw that out and cut it up into
slice and fry.
And if you can't get a hold of the crumbles, you could put it in a blender.
Yeah, yeah.
Make your own crumbles.
That's
same
right.
Same thing. Okay.
Yeah, the roll, it's interesting when we make our sausage, because it's made with gluten, it really is a bit like bread dough. It sort of looks that way when we're finished mixing it up, you know. And so we portion it in 16-ounce portions and steam those for about 40 minutes. And that's typical for how you make a wheat gluten-based product like seitan. It's usually braised or steamed or sometimes boiled.
Okay.
That's what, helps that gluten develop and have it gain the consistency that ultimately does. So we make our 16-ounce rolls, steam them, and then, that's how we sell them. Roll them in butcher and freezer paper and label them, and that's what you get in the store.
Right.
You know, think like a Jimmy Dean sausage roll, about that same size and shape, but in a butcher paper type thing.
You could, slice them and put them in the toaster.
Hey,
I don't know if that works, but it seems like they certainly could.
Honestly, it's already cooked at that point.
Okay.
You know?
So it's just warming it up.
You can eat it cold if you wanted to.
Okay.
Like, you know, we have people that really slice it thin and eat it like cold salami or something like that. You know, that's really good. You know, slice it and put it on pizza, you know, the way you would pepperoni. Mm-hmm. Fry it just like you would a sausage patty in a pan with eggs and toast or whatever you're having for breakfast, you know. Or, the crumbles, we call it sausage because it has a little bit of the, you know, we season it the way you would expect a sausage patty to be seasoned, with fennel and red pepper and oregano. So it has that Italian sausage kind of a seasoning profile.
Mm-hmm.
But you can substitute it anywhere you would use, you know, animal meat. So it's great in chili, it's great in burritos and tacos and enchiladas, it's great in Italian food, you know, spaghetti sauce pairs really well with marinara, you know, lasagna, you name it. So
Sloppy Joe's for the summer crowd.
Oh, yeah, Sloppy Joe's for sure. I did a sort of Asian-style Sloppy Joe where I put a ton of ginger with some hoisin sauce and tamari, you know, and I put them in the slow cooker, and let me tell you, lights out.
That sounds good.
Super good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't eat gluten for the most part, but I did have to try the sausage, and I really like the spice profile.
Oh, good.
It's really good. It had a little bit of a kick, but not too much.
It has
much,
a little kick.
It's nice. It's really nice.
You hit on probably the most controversial element of the Brimson Bangers. Some people just... Very, very few, I have to say. But, you know, up here we have, you know, a lot of Scandinavian and Norwegian folks with a certain tender palate, you might say. You know, just think it's way too spicy. Most people feel the way you do. It's got a little kick, but it's great. And that's kind of what I was getting at with our, you know, we're not shying away from having a pronounced flavor or, you know, a signature flavor for our food. But enough people, when it got to be like maybe of all of our customers, and we have almost 100 customers now, you know, when it got to be like 5 or 6 people who said, look, this is just too spicy, we thought, okay, we'll develop a mild version. So it's the same recipe, but I take out all of the crushed red pepper and most of the fennel, because strangely, you know, a lot of people equate that fennelly taste with spice.
Okay.
And then we add a bit more maple syrup, which is what it's sweetened with, and some tomato paste to sort of up the sweetness a bit.
Okay.
And that's our mild version.
Okay.
And that's, by the way, if you are going to the Rhubarb Fest, the mild is what they're making the Sloppy Joes out of. So it won't be spicy,
gotcha.
Spicy Sloppy Joes. And our mild sausage is not actually available in any of our retail stores right now.
Okay.
Because, you know, people much prefer the original. But we will make it for folks for direct sale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's, since we're there, let's talk about how to get it, where to find it.
Yeah. Well, we still do sell direct to people through our website, superiorsmallbatch.com. For orders of 5 pounds or more in the Twin Ports area, we'll deliver. But if you just want to buy a pound at a time, you can go to one of our grocer partners. And in Duluth, that's both of the Whole Foods Co-op locations and Mount Royal Market selling Superior Small Batch products. A number of local restaurants have us on the menu. Tavern on the Hill sells the Hearty Burger. Beaners on Central and West Duluth has the crumbles that they use in their various vegetarian foods. Up in Two Harbors, you can get crumbles in the flatbread, the chorizo flatbread that Cedar Coffee makes up in Two Harbors. And we have a number of other grocer partners in outstate Minnesota.
Okay.
Crow Wing Co-op in Brainerd, two co-ops in Wisconsin, Schwamigan Co-op in Ashland, the co-op in Luck, Wisconsin, and we just got into Ironwood Co-op in Michigan.
Okay.
So three states now down south. Tim and Tom's Speedy Market sells both products in St. Paul and, let's see, in the deli of the co-op Natural Foods in Burnsville, you can get our sausage and the grab-and-go meals.
Nice.
So we're still building our base of retail partners, and we have a number of partnerships that are sort of in the works right now that we hope come to fruition by the end of the calendar year.
And you're looking to continue to branch out and reach out?
Yeah, that's right. We are dedicated to the small batch. That's our name. Right. So, you know, we're not currently in danger of making so much that we lose our quality, but mm-hmm. our company is dedicated. We call them our three super guiding principles to a product quality, number one, community, number two, and the environment, number three. So we're not going to compromise on any of those things as we grow. Plus, so long as we're doing our own distribution, which we are now, our license allows us to distribute 4 hours from manufacturing location.
Okay.
So, you know, that gets us to the South Metro. It gets us to Northwest Wisconsin, 4 hours, Central Minnesota. You know, we can get to Virginia. We can get up to Grand Marais. So if you imagine a 4-hour radius from Finland, Minnesota.
Okay.
That's where we're allowed to distribute at the moment.
And So if somebody's listening to this and they're within that 4 hours at this point, and who knows what the future holds.
That's right.
What is the best way? Like, say they've tried your food and they're like, okay, no, I really want to get this in my grocery store. Is it a better thing to go contact the grocery store, or is it a better thing to contact you, or both?
That's a great question. You know, this, what you just said is really what we hope will happen more and more as our grassroots start to grow. And that's people who really want our food in their area to help make those connections. So to answer your question, both would be great.
Okay.
And just in the last few weeks, this has really started to happen. So instead of us cold calling a place in Brainerd or something, which is what we did, and they were just over the moon that they could get veggie burgers made in the Duluth area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just awesome to them. They've been fantastic. So actually, there's a person who lives in Aiken, and she, which for folks who don't know, about halfway between Duluth and Brainerd, and she bought some of our products at the co-op in Brainerd, loved them, saw on our label that we had a website, went on the website and contacted me and said, we have this awesome, really responsive health food store here in Aiken. Can I help you get in there, or can I put in a good word? Here's the name of the manager. Here's the number. I mean, I can't tell you, Judy, what time and effort that saves.
Right.
I mean, it's incredibly beneficial. Okay. So on all kinds of counts, it saves us having to dig that up. But also when I call the manager, I can say, hey, one of your dedicated customers is ready to buy this.
Yes.
And when someone goes to buy, they're not just going to buy that one thing in your store. They're going to buy other stuff too.
Right.
So, and that's happened a couple of times recently, and that's been an awesome thing.
Fun.
So that store is Grandma's Pantry in Aiken. Mm. We expect to hear very shortly that they'll be a retail partner of ours.
Nice.
So, and that's a totally grassroots growth thing for us. So that's, That's just fantastic.
I think that's it's a good reminder for people in general, you know, in just that whole statement of if there is something you want in your grocery store, if you're excited about a local product, speak up. And I have heard managers of grocery stores say, the only way we know you want a product is if you let us know you want a product.
That's right.
And that there's going to be somebody there to buy it, because we're looking at, think of how many foods come out every day and how many products are in the store. And if we know that there's something you prefer, we're taking a guess.
Yeah.
If we can have some direction, you know, many places are open to that.
And that's how things unfolded for us too here at Whole Foods Co-op in Duluth. I had started reaching out to them right at the very beginning, you know, as a lot of people do. They have a lot of people knocking on their door, right, wanting to get in the co-op, and their stores are small. So I have some idea of that world. When I first moved to the area, I worked as a cook in the deli of the co-op when there was just the one location on Hillside.
Mm.
But anyhow, we just weren't getting much of a response from them. And I was like, geez, local veggie burgers and sausage, come on, you know. But just like you said, where's the money? It's like, it has to make sense. Every square inch of every shelf, the freezer space, has to produce.
Right.
So when we built up a certain groundswell of support in the area, you know, it got to be 50, 60, 70 people. I think we currently have, we're getting ready to hit 70 local folks who have bought our stuff directly. So at least 5 pounds, right, that they bought.
Right.
That it's the more and more people that come on, the less and less possible it is for me to keep delivering to
them.
So what I want to do is channel all those people to the co-op.
Right.
Well, I was able to tell them that and say, look, all these people are going to now start buying our stuff from you guys.
Right.
And I think that really helped.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's just enough to get them to taste the food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we believe in our food and how it tastes. So I feel like if I get you to taste it, then we're winning.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's good food.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, that really, really helps when they can see the business side of it too.
Right.
And with Mount Royal Market, same kind of thing. You know, they have a lot of crossover in their customer base from the new restaurant Tavern on the Hill. And Tavern on the Hill was super enthusiastic about our Hearty Burger and put us on the menu a few weeks ago. And they've been selling way more than they initially thought.
Wow.
So the first order was for 40 pounds. The second order was for 80 pounds. The third order was for 120 pounds.
Nice.
So we suspect we'll probably get in the range of maybe 80 to 100 pounds a week but so a lot of the people who go to eat there are also shopping at Mount Royal Market.
Mm-hmm.
So we could say a similar kind of a thing to those guys, like, look, you got some crossover here, so you know this isn't going to be wasted space in your freezer to put our burgers in there.
People just need to know they're there.
They just need to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about the taste of the sausage, and I have been enjoying the burgers.
Oh, good.
And the first time I had them with I speak to this from the perspective of not having to put a huge amount of things on them to make them good. So the first time I had it was at a friend's house where we're currently doing the podcast with two corn tortillas and a little bit of mayo and some onion and the burger, and that's it.
Wow.
And it was great.
Awesome.
So I was really excited about them because I didn't want to try them for a long time. So yes, I headed to my co-op and picked up my burger right there. And they're not much more expensive to pick them up at the co-op than they are to have you deliver. I mean, they're pretty on par.
We save, so at the co-op they're $7.69 a pound. And $7 a pound if you buy bulk from me.
Okay, right.
So we definitely wanted to incentivize people buying bulk, you know, less packaging. This has been a challenge for us, actually, this whole business of trying to grow a business with little packaging.
Mm.
This gets to our commitment to environmental principles.
Right.
We did not want to have 1 pound packages of our stuff. And so, by the way, when you go and buy 4 burgers, a factory burgers, you're not getting a pound. You know, most of those are between 2.5 and 3.5 ounces.
Uh-huh. And so, you can check that by putting them on your scale.
Or it even says it right on the pack.
Right.
But please do weigh them. Yeah, but anyway, so for 3-ounce burgers is 12 ounces. That's 4 ounces shy of a pound.
Right.
Okay. So you've got relative little food and an awful lot of packaging, right? Well, I can get to the price point on that differently. Like, a lot of people look at the price of our burger, $7.69 for 4. Then, you know, right next to the Boca burger, which is $3.89 for 4.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, you know, those Hearty burgers are expensive. Well, it's 35% more food.
Right.
Okay.
And a lot more taste. No offense.
So ounce for ounce, this really, our price is directly comparable ounce for ounce to any of the supermarket veggie burgers, and a lot less than some of the other sort of upmarket gourmet veggie burgers. But anyway,
right.
Packaging. So for the first really 6 or 8 months of our marketing, we were just focusing on the bulk market. And we wanted people to buy 5-pound boxes of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have a source for 100% recycled USA-made boxes. We were using very thin, low-density bags to put them in, so very small volume of plastic inside the boxes. So 5-pound boxes, 2 plastic bags, 2.5 pounds each. You know?
Okay, sure.
And just weren't selling anything. You know, the supermarkets that we got to try it said they liked it, but they didn't have space in their freezer for a big box.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just thought, well, we have to do 1 pound. We got to get in the retail space with 1 pound. So,
right.
So that led us down the road of thinking about how can we package this stuff in the least impact way possible that's still doable for us at our, you know, sort of DIY stage. You know, we don't have access to big factories and machines and everything. We're making and packaging this stuff ourselves. So the sausage is wrapped in paper, and it is recyclable, even though it has the freezer coating on the inside.
Okay.
So there's that. And the bag that we're using now for the Hearty Burgers, and we're actually in development of a new bag, which will be even better, but it's a low-density polyethylene bag, which we got an extra thick one. We're paying a little bit more money for a thicker bag with a zip top.
Oh.
So that you can reuse the bag.
Okay.
Like, think 3 or 4 times as thick as a Ziploc bag.
Really?
Okay. Super heavy-duty, thick bag.
Okay.
And then once you've exhausted it, when it finally does tear, which it's a super tough bag, it's recyclable.
Okay.
So unlike a lot, like unlike Ziploc bags, right. you can't recycle those.
Right.
But our bag is a number 4.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool.
So we feel better about that.
Right. Well, and it's just nice. You get 4 burgers.
Yep.
If I'm cooking for myself.
Yep.
I end up having to pull something out to make sure that it's tightly sealed.
Yep, it's in a Ziploc bag already.
Yeah.
So you just pop one out, put it back in the freezer when they're gone. And we are redesigning our label now, and they're not out yet, but they will be in a couple of months. It says right on there, please reuse this bag. And when they're finished, recycle number 4.
Right.
And on our website, just in case you don't have curbside recycling or the curbside recycling you do have won't take bags, there are a dozen places in town where you can take them. And we have a link to those places on our website.
Okay.
So, you know, that's kind of, for now, that's what we've done to really try to maintain our commitment or exemplify our commitment to our environmental standards when it comes to packaging.
Right. Sure. Right. I also wanted to ask you, are you open to talking about the Lake Superior College?
Sure.
Getting into there?
Sure.
So in a previous conversation, you talked about getting into Lake Superior Community College here in Duluth.
Yes.
That's very exciting.
It is. Oh, man. Yeah, we're really excited. We've developed a great relationship with Connie, the food services director there at LSC, and she's really excited to hear about a local company that's making food that she feels like is going to do well in their canteen. They're getting more and more demand from their students and employees there for veggie burgers especially. And so, yeah, starting this fall, we'll be on the menu there at the LSC canteen.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's good. And that is something that students are, I mean, my experience at UMD has not been that long ago, and there was a lot of call for, you know, some of the surveys we were doing were showing that there was more and more interest. And
yeah.
So hopefully that more colleges can maybe spread out.
You know,
and
we've also reached out to UMD, and we hope that, you know, we can develop a relationship with their dining services as well.
Yeah, that would be great. I know the demand is there.
For sure.
Yeah. And one of the things that you'd also mentioned to me earlier was just that part of your kind of company philosophy and commitment is not just to sell people good, mm-hmm. tasty food, but it's also to help people recognize maybe how to eat better. Mm. And so are you doing something with LSC to help the students figure out how to cook this themselves? Or,
well, you know, we certainly don't want to, you know, judge anybody's eating preferences. You know, we all eat what we eat for our own reasons.
Right.
But we do believe that our dietary decisions have environmental impacts. I mean, obviously they have health impacts directly to us. They also impact the health of the planet. A meat-based burger on your plate has had a different environmental journey getting there than a chickpea and brown rice-based burger, you know. And, you know, we're not in the business of preaching about that stuff.
Sure.
But we definitely want to spread the good news about these different sorts of choices that are out there. A lot of people just don't know how to make vegan sausage or vegan burgers. And so, yeah, we're really excited to do classes and teach people how to make this stuff. So whether it's at LSC or other community centers or church basements or schools, I'd love to get the word out there to have us in, and not as a sales call, but just about making this stuff on your own. We've been very plain since the beginning about exactly what's in our products. Most food companies don't do this, but our ingredients labels and nutrition labels are big as day right on our website. So you can go on there and see exactly what's in the sausage.
On the homepage, aren't they?
On the homepage, yeah. We do that for folks who have allergies and but also, hey, look, this isn't rocket science. You can make this stuff at home. So we don't feel proprietary necessarily about our general recipes. We do have special spice mixes that we concocted that give the flavor profile for the burger and the sausage. And we won't share those. But that's great because you can flavor it however you like.
Right.
You know, some people, if you want to do it a little bit plainer, then you can do that. If you want to get wild and adventurous and have an Indian flavored burger, you can do that as well.
Right.
So.
Right. That's I mean, that's really awesome because I think that that is sometimes it is just the helping people just have even another option.
That's right.
You know, and learning how simple it can be and then how good it can be.
Yeah.
I mean, this food, it's food, right? It's just because it has
just
a vegan word on it doesn't mean that it.
It's just good
you can
food.
Only have it if you're vegan. It's
that's
food.
Right.
It's good food. And
that's right.
I think there are more flexitarians or people who are just like, okay, I'm willing to try that.
Yep.
But food, you know, I'm always encouraging people in general, be open to new tastes and
absolutely.
Try them a few times. And you never know what's out there. There's some amazing things out there that you can do, you know?
Yeah.
So yay for you for just getting out the word and trying to help people figure it out.
That's right.
Try new things.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we really want to get as many people as possible eating plant-based protein items, whether it's Superior Small Batch products or other products, stuff you make at home. We want to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we can do to make that happen, we will.
And this is a vegan food that you're obviously providing. And like I said, that doesn't mean anything more than that's just what happens to be in the food. Like, I always joke that if they were to put gluten-free in big letters on Hershey's Kisses, the sales would go, way down. And my other joke is,
I can't eat that. It's gluten free.
It's gluten free. Yeah. It's, you know, if you want a really good meal at a potluck, you know, just bring yourself some really good quality steak and stick a little pin in it that says gluten free.
Yeah.
It's all yours. You're good to go. And I think people are starting to get over that. You know, there are people who are going, okay, there are some things that have these quote unquote labels, but they're good. They're food.
You know, I grew up in Kentucky, and we were talking about this earlier, a real, what you call a meat and potatoes type of family.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner consisted of a piece of meat, a starch of some kind, usually potatoes, and a vegetable. And you take the meat off the plate, and there is no meal. You know, I'm not alone in that, I know,
mm-hmm.
and we're creating a new normal where plates look different. And part of what we've done as a company to offer a different view on that is on our website, SuperiorSmallBatch.com, we have a testimonials section, and we have purposely put a few people on there who are meat eaters, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a strict vegan myself, but people basically saying, hey, I normally eat meat and potatoes, but this stuff is great, you know?
Right.
So, like I said, we are not in the position to judge anyone. We're just making food that tastes good to us.
Right.
And I like working in a kitchen that doesn't have animal products in it. I have a former career in a commercial kitchen, and I briefly went to culinary school, and it's just a relief not to worry about the sorts of cross-contamination and the spoilage and the various things that comes along with having animal-based products in a kitchen environment. We have our own things that we are concerned about in terms of cross-contamination. For example, we typically don't make our bangers and our burgers on the same day,
so that
we keep the gluten stuff separate from the non-gluten stuff.
Right.
But, you know, it's just really nice not to have that stuff in a kitchen environment in a way. So, like I said, to each his or her own, but our products don't have animal products in them.
Right.
And that's just, you know, but again, it's just good food.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and for those families who are like, oh, we really want to try a vegetarian meal or a vegetarian day. Well, boom, there you go. You get to have burgers.
And you know what? It's easy.
Right.
Everybody knows what to do with a burger.
Exactly.
You fry it, you grill it, you put it on a bun, you put some of your favorite condiment on there, a little tomato, onion, lettuce, boom. Boy,
you're good to go.
Good to go.
Yeah.
Delicious.
And some people might not even notice the difference.
Well, you know, that's interesting too, Judy. So we didn't talk about this in our earlier conversation, but this business of the growth of the fake meat industry.
You know,
so you just said people might not notice the difference. And I just want to let folks know who might have heard of the Impossible Burger or the Incredible Burger. I don't know if you've heard of those things.
No, I don't think so.
So these are two products that are pretty new on the market, like in the last year or two.
Okay.
Which are laboratory-made fake meat products largely based on pea protein, so an isolated protein from the pea plant.
Okay.
So major investment in the multiples of millions of dollars has gone into creating this laboratory product that looks and tastes and cooks and behaves like beef. And you can get that in the co-op right now. The Impossible Burger.
Okay.
And it looks like ground beef. So that's kind of interesting, right? So I read an article recently about the venture capital that's gone into this industry, and it's incredible. Why? Because the meat industry as it is now and the beef industry is sort of on the same track as the oil industry, right? Mm-hmm. It's just not sustainable. We can't go on the path that we're on eating specifically beef in the way that we've been eating it, right? So some of these big money guys see this and say, well, we got to get something else, but people still want their burgers.
Mm-hmm.
So they create this fake burger. That's not our tack. So we didn't set out trying to create something that was going to fool somebody into thinking they were eating a burger.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just good food. It's not pretending to be in anything that it isn't. And this even got to, like, do we call it a burger?
Right.
Do we call it a patty? Do we not even sort of have a word that talks about what it is? Or do we just call it hearty?
You know, right.
I got to get some hearty tonight or whatever. And it's really tough. So some of the marketing advice we got suggested that we do market it as a meat replacement.
Okay.
Because that's where most business is going to come from. It's going to come from people who are trying to work some non-meat-based protein into their diet, they're watching their sodium or their fat or whatever it is. But there's something fundamental about being fake meat that I reject, as a guy that's making this food, right? Again, it's just good food. I don't want people to think that, well, I'd rather have a burger, but I'm going to eat this. Wow, it tastes just like a burger. And so anyway, you see where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
There are products available for people who want to be tricked into thinking they're eating beef.
Right.
Or whatever. Or maybe they're eating it because they don't want to support factory farming anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
Our product is not that. It's a replacement in the sense that you can throw it on the grill next to the meat burgers and put it on a bun and put cheese on it or, you know, whatever you want. And
we understand what to do with a burger. It's a very convenient shape and size, and there are already buns.
Exactly right.
For it.
We understand what to do with it. Right,
right, exactly. So it's like you don't have to be creative.
Right.
You can be, but but you can go, okay, I can do that.
Exactly.
I know what to do with that thing.
But there were a quote-unquote fake meat thing or not. We're confident that if you give it a try, you're going to like it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think the thickness is nice.
Oh, cool.
And you know, it's like sometimes they're too thick, or you get done and you don't feel like, you're kind of like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
You know, right. And I didn't feel that way. It was like, good. Yeah, okay, this is like, I know what, to, again, I know what to do with this. You know, it kind of just has that whole experience.
Well, when Gail and I were making a list of the qualities that we wanted our burger to have before we started our R&D, one of them was definitely, it has to be satisfying, fill you up. Mm-hmm. So right on our label, it says the burger that makes a meal. So burger's about 35% bigger than most supermarket veggie burgers. It's a quarter pounder, post-cook weight. So in the package that you get, it's 4 ounces, you know, versus, say, 3 ounces, 3.5 mm-hmm. ounces, mm-hmm. you know. And believe me, when you eat one, too, you feel satisfied, mm-hmm. you know. I like to stack mine up with a lot of veggies and a little bit of vegan mayo on there. And there's some really good, I have a dairy allergy myself, but there's some really good new products, new vegan cheese products that I'm pretty impressed with. That melt really nicely and stuff. I like provolone, you know.
Uh-huh.
There's like a fake provolone, you know. Again, it's like, it's not, it's more than an alternative. It's like a fake cheese.
Right.
You know? But I got to admit, I go for that on the Hearty Burger. I get one of those and it melts real nice.
Well, and I think it's interesting, kind of the whole, like you say, the replacing. I think I mentioned this on the vegan cookbook podcast, but there's a Jim Gaffigan, there's a comedian. I don't know if you're familiar with him. No, weirdly, no vegetarians that I've talked to are, which makes me laugh, but he has this thing that he talks about, and he does a lot of comedy about food, and one of the things he says is, you know who's obsessed with meat? It's vegetarians. You know? They're always looking for the hamburger this, the beef this, the turkey this, the whatever, and it's and I get it in the sense that it's like, It's the stuff you know what to do with. And there's many vegetarians. They're not leaving meat because they don't like meat.
Right.
You know, that's not the issue. If that was the case, that wouldn't be the case. But it's finding that alternative that they can be excited about because they do like their burgers and their steaks and, you know.
Pork chops.
Exactly.
Ribs.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I want to touch on, you touched on this just a little bit, but a nutrition difference that you guys bring to the table. And right on your site is a table.
Yeah.
I believe it's USDA cited.
Uh-huh.
And what you guys offer. And so I just want to talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
Because in listing, and it lists your burgers and what is it? There's pork and turkey and something else, I think.
It's this. So the chart's actually about the bangers, the sausage.
Okay. It's the bangers. That's right. Yep. Okay. Okay.
Yep. So yeah, way more protein than any of the meat-based sausages.
Which is surprising when you think of how that works.
Yeah, so it turns out wheat gluten has a lot of protein in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the protein comes from on that. No cholesterol. Of course, meat's super high in cholesterol. Lower sodium. I mean, nutritionally, right down the line, the Brimson bangers completely outperform any of the meat. The turkey gets a little bit closer.
Right. Which also surprised me, too. I guess I always forget about that. Like,
but I think turkey's super high. Is it the sodium that the... I don't have it in front of me.
I think it was protein that was pretty close. Oh, wait.
But it's higher in sodium.
It is. Yes.
Think. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys come out ahead pretty much in everything. More fiber.
Yeah.
No
zero,
sugar.
Zero fiber in the meat. Yeah.
So, yeah. And carbs is the one thing that you guys have a little bit of carbs, but not by much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think 3 grams is what the list said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, which is pretty cool. So, I mean, you are getting, you're making a trade, or if you are feeling like you need to make the trade, you're getting some benefit out of that.
You know, the sausage in particular is one. So just coming off this discussion of not trying to be something, well, we call our stuff Brimson Banger. Well, you've heard of the word banger as a reference to like an Irish sausage or an English sausage.
Yep.
So that's where that word comes from. And so that is a hearkening to, but it's also kind of banging as in sort of powerful, you know, because it's kind of spicy and stuff
that.
But that is more of a sausage analog than the Hearty Burger is an analog to a hamburger.
Okay.
We do have a number of customers that sort of migrate to our sausage from meat-based sausage specifically because of the health nutritional benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
People who are trying to watch their fat and their cholesterol and their sodium but still want to have a sausage on the plate. So these are, I say, a lot of people I would feel comfortable saying who are not vegetarians who switch to our sausage for those reasons.
Health reasons.
It's a great reason to do it, and you're not going to miss much. Fry up some Jimmy Dean and fry up some bangers. What you're going to miss is the grease.
Right.
You know, I mean, that sausage is so greasy. So, yeah, that's really good. So our our emphasis nutritionally with the hearty burgers, one of the main emphases that we had was to avoid the high level allergens and not so much on pumping them full of protein. Mm-hmm. So they don't have as much protein as a meat burger. We don't have a nutritional analysis on the website of the hearty burger yet, but we will do eventually. But of course, there's other benefits with the hearty burger in the way of the fiber and, and the other sorts of things. But, you know, people, a lot of folks are really single-minded about protein these days. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, a lot of folks migrate to the bangers for that reason.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else do you want to share about what you're doing, or what else have I not asked you about that I should be?
Yeah, well, maybe we would just talk a little bit about what's coming in the pipeline.
Oh, yes, that was one of the questions I had. Are you gonna add more products to your?
Yeah. So one thing that we're really excited about that was part of our early development when we were still doing our CSA style rollout were some tempeh products. So I don't know if your listeners are familiar with tempeh, but it's a fermented product. And we think of it as fermented soybean. If you go down to the co-op and get a block of tempeh or something, it's typically soybean. But really, tempeh refers to the spore that creates the tempeh that you inoculate the substrate with.
Okay.
So you can make tempeh out of lots of different sorts of legumes and grains and... So we played with that quite a bit. And Gail's our tempeh master in the R&D department. And I built a tempeh incubator for our purposes of our research and development. And so we really love the tempeh that we make. And we eat it at home a lot. I just had some for dinner last night in a green curry. It was so delicious. But we have a product that we're going to market as the Catch, which will be loosely a fish stick alternative, which actually is brown rice tempeh.
Interesting.
So we found out just incredibly that brown rice tempeh prepared a certain way had a consistency of like cooked whitefish. Really, really something. And so I played around with a coating, the sort of coating that you might put on a fish stick, sort of a cornmeal coating with the sort of spices that you would get in a shore lunch kind of a thing. So we make that brown rice tempeh with that coating on there and either bake it or fry it, and it's just lights out. It's really good.
Nice.
We make our own vinegar at home. So I made a batch of malt vinegar, which is, I don't know if you, beer vinegar. Right. So, you know, fish and chips, you know, go down to the pub and get your beer. Oh, so good. But turns out there's some additional hoops to go through in licensing to be able to make tempeh versus the type of food that we're making.
Because of the fermentation?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of commercial food production is about keeping the food out of the quote-unquote danger zone, right? That temperature zone where the bad stuff grows.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, to make tempeh, it has to exist in the, it has to be in the danger zone for like 2 days.
Right.
So there's a little bit of... But we're in communication with a cool guy in the cities named Ryan, who has a small tempeh manufacturing company called Tempeh Tantrum.
Oh, buddy.
No, you guys have seen him. He's a cool guy, and he's given us some advice on how to navigate the hurdles necessary for being able to make tempeh. So that's one product that's coming down the pike that we're excited
about. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And we hear so much more about fermented products these days. So,
yeah, fermentation's hot.
Yeah. Does that withstand... I know I should know this somewhere in my head. Does that withstand the cooking process or the benefits of...
Oh, so are the benefits of eating uncooked tempeh the same as...
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Nutritionally, I guess I don't know. I don't know about people eating raw tempeh. I think it's almost always cooked.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just thinking so much of our fermented foods we're eating... Typically,
How beneficial they are because of the specific stuff you get from the fermentation process.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what does the...
That'll be something to check out for sure.
Yeah. But again, it's consistency and taste is a big deal.
Yep.
So, nice. Okay.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me in and for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for coming and excited to share what you guys are doing. It's great when we've got local people who are doing something that... you know, A, food, big deal. We all like food. And just the other, the philosophies that you have behind your company are great. And we need more of that in the world.
Thank you. So. Oh, hey, before we go, one more thing I might put out.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that we've been doing our manufacturing up in Finland, Minnesota, where we rent a commercial kitchen at the community center up there. But we're really looking for a Duluth-based place where we can do our manufacturing.
Oh.
So it's been difficult to find a place. So if any of your listeners know about anything, maybe go on our website, superiorsmallbatch.com, and send us a message, and that we'd be forever grateful.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah. Be some good vegan burgers in it for you.
Little incentive.
Yeah, if you can put us on the trail of a Duluth or Twin Ports based manufacturing facility.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Save you a little bit of a driving time.
Yeah. Thanks, Judy.
All right. Thank you. Well, I hope you had as much fun as I did. So if you want to check them out and you're in the Duluth area, check out the SuperiorSmallBatch.com website. And also, of course, Shane mentioned a bunch of stores and restaurants that you can find them in. If you're traveling to Duluth, again, check out the restaurants that he mentioned. And if you're buying food for your camping trip, you can cook them over your campfire. I'm sure that would be quite delightful. You can say that you had them before they were super famous and had all these little Superior Small Batch kitchens all over the world. I don't quite know if that's the direction they want to go, but you know, it's the desire that I have for these guys and so many other people that have been on the podcast to succeed and just be rewarded for the hard work that they're doing and the integrity that they're putting into it. Just to refer back to my little soapbox in the introduction, you know, I've had a last couple weeks, I'll spare you the story why, but sort of this look and reminder into, well, for instance, people who have made a ton of money on YouTube for doing pretty much nothing. Like, yes, there's the filming and the editing and there's a lot of work that goes into it, but the content or the product that comes out, there's not really a whole lot there. And some of these people are making absurd amounts of money. And it's just hard for me to take sometimes when I see it. And I know the argument can be made, well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do and whatever works. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with people making money. What I feel sad about is people who are doing really, like I said, things that are filled with integrity. They're full of passion, and the idea is to create a good thing and use the best ingredients or the best knowledge possible to create what they're doing, to not cut corners and to put their best foot forward into the world and not being rewarded. And I know that financially isn't the only way that we're rewarded. That is definitely not the point that we're making. But you have to admit, having money or having enough money to continue to do something well with integrity, with the best ingredients, with all of that is a beautiful and wonderful thing. And we have so many examples of companies and industries and all of that that are cutting corners and still making a ton of money and having great success. So when I think about the world that I want to live in, it's a world where people can do whatever it is they want to do with the best intention and use the best inputs to create the best outputs and not have to cut corners, but still live a happy and wonderful life. Maybe that's a big dream. I don't know. But what I do with the work that I do and with this podcast, it is about trying to be the change that I want to see in the world. It is my little part of the world to create a little bit more balance in whatever possible way that I can. So that's my little second soapbox of the day, but a little insight to my world and my inspiration for doing this. Thank you so much for listening and for spending your time with us today. Check out the rest of the podcasts at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Also on iTunes, you can subscribe there. Sign up for our email list, which just gets an email out to you letting you know we've got a new podcast. This is what it's about. And here's the description and here's the link. Boom, you can click on that and easy listening right there. Thank you so much to those who have gone to the website through the Support the Podcast link and done your shopping on Amazon after doing that. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate that.
And another huge thank you goes out to anyone who has shared the podcast via Facebook, passed on an email. That is how not only the podcast grows, but that's how the people on the podcast get their information out into the hands of those who might benefit from it. So thank you so much for doing that. We all really appreciate you passing it along. And as always, may you find more pieces that fit into your health, wellness, and happiness puzzle. Until next time.